This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. One of the hottest, most controversial topics in the news is the outsourcing of American jobs to other countries. Outsourced jobs are extending well beyond the manufacturing sector to include white-collar professionals, particularly in the information technology, financial services, and customer service space. Ron Hira is a recognized expert on outsourcing and the only person to testify twice before Congress on its implications. In his new book, Outsourcing America, published by Amacom Books, a division of the American Management Association, Ron reveals just how much outsourcing is taking place, what its impact is and will be, and what can be done about the loss of jobs. Welcome, Ron.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Ron, people really come down on outsourcing, this being good or bad, positive or negative. In your mind, is outsourcing good or bad? What are the other implications of outsourcing?
This is one of the problems with the discussion. People either side and think it's all good or it's all bad, when in fact, like most major structural changes, there are both good aspects to outsourcing as well as bad aspects. Some of the good aspects, as a lot of people know, are things like lower costs. People are able to get lower costs because they're importing these services, white-collar services, at lower cost, and you get a wider variety of products and services, things like that. So it improves productivity and capabilities in that sense. But there are also bad sides, and the most obvious ones that people point to are things like job losses. So as computer programming and software development and those kinds of jobs and even call centers move offshore, there are workers here who are clearly displaced, and we know this is pretty well documented. Those folks clearly lose a substantial amount in the process. But the whole process is actually even more complicated than just the obvious goods and the obvious bads. What happens in the longer run, particularly as we shift technological capabilities offshore, is that we're actually potentially diminishing our capacity to innovate here in the U.S. So as high-level work moves overseas, and it's not just rote programming, but actual product development and research and development, we're actually potentially changing the long-term economic growth trajectory for the U.S., and not necessarily for the better.
Some people might say parallel issue of immigration. How do these two concepts intersect, and what do we need to know about immigration affecting outsourcing?
It's kind of interesting that much of the discussion on immigration recently has been on illegal immigration, or what I would call low-skill immigration. These are folks that are coming across the border, oftentimes the Mexican border, to work as landscapers and then the hotels and things like that. So there's also high-skill immigrants who come in, and they often come in legally through guest worker programs. But what's happened is those guest worker programs have basically become corrupted. They originally a way for the U.S. to bring in the best and brightest from abroad and encourage them to stay here permanently. So you might have someone graduate from a Stanford or Berkeley or even from RIT in engineering or computer science, and they're from China or from India and they want to stay on and immigrate permanently. These guest worker visas would be a way for them to bridge towards a green card, towards permanent residence. So they may be on a guest worker visa for a couple of years. What's happened over the last 7 or 8 years is that these guest worker visa programs have actually become dominated by the offshore outsourcing companies. These are well-known firms like Infosys, Tata Consultancy, Cognizant, Wipro. These firms are actually using those guest worker visas not for the purpose of sponsoring people for green cards, for bringing the best and brightest into the U.S. and having them stay here permanently. What they're bringing in those workers for, primarily from India, is to rotate them into the U.S. to basically deliver services at rates that are lower than U.S. workers can do, and then transfer that knowledge and that capability back, oftentimes, to India.
So it's mainly about getting the knowledge or the skills back home, taking it away.
It's euphemistically called knowledge transfer. Oftentimes what happens is a U.S. worker is being forced to train his or her foreign replacement. That foreign worker comes in, learns the job, understands the capabilities, the skills, and everything else, and then takes that back abroad. So you're actually transferring capabilities and knowledge and destroying U.S. jobs in the process. So these programs have gone way out of whack. The H-1B and the L-1, that's the alphabet soup that the Immigration Service uses to identify these guest worker visas, they're actually working opposite to what the intent was. The intent was to keep jobs here in the U.S. You wanted to bring high-skilled workers in to keep work here and to create U.S. jobs. But in fact, what's going on is these visa programs are actually accelerating the process of transferring the work overseas. And you see this out of the top 10 firms that use the H-1B program and the L-1 program. Seven of those are offshore outsourcing firms who hire almost no Americans and don't sponsor their guest workers for green cards. They basically are rotating foreign workers in and out at lower rates and transferring the work overseas.
At this point, what is the United States government doing in response to outsourcing?
There's been basically two responses. One has been essentially to do nothing in the sense that we've chosen not to change any policies that we have. For example, we still have the existing immigration policy system that I just described that's actually accelerating the process. We've got a policy that was enacted after the last presidential election in November of 2004, which actually gives tax breaks to U.S. companies to shift work overseas. So instead of incentivizing our tax system to create jobs in the U.S., we actually have a tax system that encourages companies to move work overseas. This is a really important point. One of the problems in terms of the discussion here is it's been bashing CEOs and the like. So you heard in the last presidential campaign, for example, John Kerry calling the CEOs Benedict Arnold. I don't think that's the right tone or way to look at things. The CEOs are acting rationally. They're doing what's in the best interest of their companies as they see it, which really means their shareholders. The CEOs are not compensated by how many U.S. workers they have. They're compensated by what they do in the bottom line, and they have a lot of pressure to do that. So we really have kind of a screwed up incentive structure right now where it's in the best interest, for example, for IBM to transfer a lot of work to India and not to create jobs here in the U.S.
Is outsourcing a big issue outside of the United States?
What's interesting about the discussion in terms of how other countries attract these types of jobs is that other countries have policies in place to try to attract higher and higher skilled jobs. So you see this in China, for example, where a technology transfer is a requirement as a condition for a multinational company to come in and take advantage of 60-cent an hour production workers. So to make an investment in China to do some of your production there, you actually have to bring an R&D facility with you and transfer that knowledge and technology. As well as you see China aggressively trying to subsidize, and it's not even at the national level, oftentimes it's at the provincial level, where there's very big subsidies in that process. In the case of India, which has really been on the services side of things, the business process outsourcing and the information technology outsourcing, they have had in place a tax holiday for any exports in business process outsourcing or in information technology, computer software, programming, and things like that. So if you export from India, you don't get charged any income tax at all as a company. So for people to argue that this is just a question of the free market, Adam Smith, invisible hand with no government intervention, that's missing the reality of what's going on. There are clear government policies, whether it's Ireland with lower corporate tax rates or India with tax holidays, or in the case of China, where they're actually compelling companies to transfer some of their R&D as access to the marketplace in China. You've got government intervention everywhere there, whereas the U.S. seems to be sort of sitting on its hands, not knowing what to do.
Ron, I want to wrap this up with just offering you the soapbox here for a second and saying, is there anything you want to share with us related to outsourcing or related to this book that you feel, just in general, people aren't aware of or should be made aware of?
There's a couple of things I'd like to say in terms of what people aren't aware of. And before I even get into that, let me just say that I've written this book really with the general public in mind. I was giving literally dozens of lectures around the country to broad audiences, and I'd get questions and comments and stories from people, and it was pretty clear to me that there was a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation that was out there. Some of that was generated by the media. Some of it was just misperceptions of what's going on. So I think there are a few things. One is that there really aren't that many safe jobs. Many jobs are quite vulnerable to being moved overseas. The second thing I think that's important that people don't realize is how much the story that one gets publicly from the media is distorted. And the reason it's distorted is that there are very strong interests in presenting a particular storyline about why outsourcing is happening, for example, and what we should do about it and what the implications are. And you see this really embodied in Tom Friedman's book, The World is Flat. Essentially, that's a U.S. Chamber of Commerce story. I've been on a couple of panels with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce where what they do is they basically say the U.S. isn't investing enough in education, and they blame U.S. workers for not doing enough, without looking at the participation of companies themselves in this whole process of not only outsourcing, but in their public relations efforts, and then most importantly, in the ways that they influence the governmental process and the political process. This isn't to be a corporate basher, but it's to recognize that companies are much better organized in the policy process and the political process than workers. And if you, as a professional, let's say even an accountant, then I ask this of a lot of my friends who are various different white-collar professionals, who's representing your interests in Washington right now? 9 times out of 10, they're baffled that I would even ask such a question, and they haven't really thought about that. But that's the reality. Workers really are not represented in this political and the policy process. And we see this even in the current presidential campaign. Labor unions only represent about 7.5% of the U.S. private sector workforce nowadays, and they tend not to be representing a lot of white-collar workers. So the white-collar workers who are out there really have not engaged in any way in terms of the political process. That's one of the other reasons for the book. It's kind of a call to action and a wake-up call for folks to understand what's happening and to participate in the process.
The name of the book is Outsourcing America, The True Cost of Shipping Jobs Overseas and What Can Be Done About It. And we've been speaking to Ron Hira. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.